They are Amki Boshish Moshe learning. And the heart of the people saw that Moshe. Okay, the Hasidic way of learning this up is that he was embarrassed to come down from the mountain because he was an Anav and he didn't want to be known as the absolute leader. But Boshish Moshe just means he delayed from coming down from the mountain. They gathered up on Arava Yom Rui Love. They said to him, Kumas Elan Elokim, get up and make for us gods. Actually, Yoch Lutinu, to walk or go in front of us. This man, Moshe Rabbeinu, that has brought us out of the land of Mitzrayim, we don't know what happened to him. We don't know where he is. We don't know what happened to him. Take off all the gold and everything. They tore off all the gold that was on themselves. Quick Rav Shua, by the way. Why were they wearing earrings? Is that something that women wear? Tachshit Enoshim? Unbelievable little word. Just parentheses. And this is why, because I'm so out of it. I can't tell you anything that I really got this last week, but he says an unbelievable word. He says that by a nirtza, what's the reason why a nirtza, who's an eved, who has to stay until Yovel, what's the reason why he gets his ear pierced, that he goes up against the wall and they pierce him in the ear? Because the ear that heard on Har Sinai, Anochi and Lo Yelecha, that I am your God, and that you can't be slaves to other people, that you should know you're slaves to Him, that if you choose to be a slave to other people, if you choose to go ahead and be a slave to other people, so your ear should be bored through. You should have that boring that goes straight through your ear.
So it's not literally, it's metaphorical?
No, meaning that's what's supposed to happen. Literally, you're supposed to have that. So if you go ahead and you did hear Anochi Lo Yelecha, then you should bore your ear through. You should go ahead and take the awl and put it through your ear to remind you that you're an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everybody that heard Anochi Lo Yelecha at Har Sinai specifically wore gold earrings to remind themselves of what happened at Har Sinai, to continually remind them they're nirtzah, that they're serving God forever, that they're avado le'olam, that they're always going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was just that stomach shot that's given over by Rav Schwab that I just thought was absolutely unbelievable. So it says like this, by Yikach Miyadam, by Yotzer Oso Bacharek, and he took it from their hands, and he formed it a little bit, by Seyo Ego Masech, and he made it into a molten calf. By Yomu Eilu Elohak Yisrael, and they said, these are your gods, O Israel, Shaluchom Eretz Yitzrayim, that you brought out from Eretz Yitzrayim. Very, very strange. Chazal say that he threw it into a fire, and that's by Yotzar Oso Bacharek, but it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk that he actually threw them into the fire. They actually put something into the fire. It's all from the drushim, from the drush in the pasuk. It seems like he formed it himself with a little awl, or an adzi, or whatever it's called. Vayar Aron v'ivam izbeach lefanav, he built an izbeach. Vayikar Aron v'yomar, chag l'Hashem mechor, and he called out and he said, there should be a chag for HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomorrow. Tashkiv Machos Yadu Olos, Be'agishu Shlomim, Be'yishu Ha'lachov Be'shasso, Be'ekul Mechik, they got up to play. Very, very strange psukim. It seems very clear that Aaron was heavily involved in creating the Egel Azov, and that there was no excuse for him to do it. Especially if you say they didn't throw it into a fire. If you say there was a fire there, so how do you normally make a molten idol? You throw it into like a kiln, or an oven, and you form it within the oven itself. But to throw it into a fire, you could say, well, he's throwing it into the fire because he wanted to destroy it, and the Egel Azov came from itself, and that's how it formed. But by Yatsar Osoba Cheresh, seems to me that he formed it with a regular, taking a thing, like forming it out and making it himself. Very, very strange. The whole pasuk is very, very strange. The whole thing is very, very strange. Okay, so what do we want this? The first thing we got to say is like this. Number three over here, Tashin Salachas. Moshe is on the Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and he learns Torah, right? He's supposed to learn Torah. He comes down with the Luchos, and they are making the Egel Azov. So what does he do with those Luchos or Rishonos? He goes and he breaks them. Right? Mm-hmm. After that, he goes up to Har Sinai for another 40 days to go ask for Bnei Yisrael to have complete kapara, to have a complete kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's what he does the second 40 days. The third 140 days, which altogether made it into 120 days altogether, was there for him to create the second Luchos. Now, what does that mean? To form the Luchos, he needed 40 days? No. The Luchos could be written down in 5 seconds. Just go ahead, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do his little laser beams, and go ahead and form the Luchos, and make the letters. So what was the 40 days for?
What was the first 40 days?
The first 40 days were for him to be able to learn Torah, to be able to figure it out.
If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to learn it like this, he would have learned it like
1,000%, but there still needs to be some type of ishtavlus on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. That's brought down from the Rishonim, that the Rishonim actually say that we have to go ahead and do it. Now, it had to be...
He just started. Come on.
Let's go. Get over here. Hurry up.
Go get it.
So now, all together. And they do say different levels, that there's four different levels. Everybody knows part is Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. And there are 10 levels at each part. And each day was a different form of that level. So that means that there were 4 times 10, which is 40 days. We spent all 40 days up in Shemayah. And that's one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come down any earlier. Why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have been sent down early to make sure the Egel Azav didn't happen. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to get every part of the Torah, all 40 levels of the Torah, all 4 levels of parties, times the 10 milas in each one of them, to be able to get all 40 of them. That 100% is brought down, that's from the Or HaChaim, actually. That's from the Or HaChaim. But still, okay, so let's say he did that for the first 40 days. What did he do the third 40 days? What did he have to learn? If he learned everything during those first 40 days, what happened during those last, the middle 40, what did he do for the last 40 days? What was his purpose in spending those last 40 days up there? He already knew the Torah. He had everything there was to know. So what was he doing up there?
He had another ego when he came back down.
that would be a little bit different. Panach Raza says an unbelievable level. We're going to have 2 answers over here. The first one is the Panach Raza. Panach Raza is a Rishon. He says that the first time he learned Klolon, how to learn the Torah, the Panach Raza is a Rishon. He's a Rishon, not known by anywhere else. He's gotten from the Geniza in Rome. He learned the Klolon and how to learn the Torah. But there's more to just that. The Medrash Rabbah on Perek Mem Zayin says that the first luchos were only the mitzvos. It consisted of all 613 mitzvos derived from the Aseret HaDibros and told Bnei Yisrael all the mitzvos that there were that were supposed to be. Instead of going through stories, it literally went through, it was like a Rambam. Going through all the 613 mitzvos and all the details that you needed. Okay. It was basically like what we would see in the Gemara without the discussion. Just halacha after halacha after halacha after halacha. And it was all 613 mitzvos. That was the first luchos. And that's what he would come down with. The luchos would be the Aseret HaDibros. And from those luchos, from those Aseret HaDibros, there would be all these different pratim. And in those pratim, in those individual little things, he would come down and he'd tell everybody all the different halachos and all the different little things that they needed to know in order to be able to learn the Torah. But what happens? Then Israel were not on the level to accept the Torah in that position. So instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a different Torah that's full of Agadato, full of Midrashim, full of all these different things. Stories of the Avos. Stories of what we happened after that. Oh, that's what we're going to get to. Hold on. But what happened was, it had to come down in a different form so that people would be more excited. Tell me, has anybody ever gone through the Rambam, like start from the beginning and just read through Rambam?
That's the first one, by the way.
Tell you.
First mitzvah.
Laid out to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first mitzvah that he would have mentioned?
Yeah.
I'll explain that in a second. Hold on 1 second. I'll get you in a second. But Lamai said that's the way it should have been, that it should have been that. But now we have it with Torah Shebaal Peh, in the way that we learn it in such a way that if you go through the Rambam straight, you get bored. You can't do halacha after halacha after halacha. You gotta spice it up with some stories. You gotta spice it up with, this is where Rashi told over to Amevar. And, you know, this guy, like this, the other guy. You have to have those little really things inside. You have Gemara to be able to go through. You're right, if I really... But we don't just learn the Rambam. And Torah had to be brought into a way that we would appreciate it more, says the Medrash Rabbah. And in a way that we can sit there and we can say, wow, now I really get it. And that's the pshat behind, ki lekach tov nasati lechem. The first Aseret HaDibros were lekach. It was something that you would take for yourself, just the mitzvos. Nasati lechem, that gave you a matana, that now it can be done in a way you'll actually be excited to read it. Nobody likes reading through Parshas Mishpatim, where everybody stops and says, when you do Shnedek Lech Targum, it's usually Parshas Mishpatim, where everybody stops and
says, I can't do it anymore.
Akubakude. There's repetition. Right? Repetition. That's what the entire Torah would have been. Something we would have looked at and been like, what is this? Boring, so to speak. But if we would have been on the level, then we would have kept it that way and everything would have been fine. Maybe that's Shapian, the first Rashi in the Torah. Everybody knows the first Rashi. Why do we start off from Bereshis Torah, Lokim et Shemayim et Zaretz? Why don't we start off from Achodesh Azelachem? And the Pshat is Rashi, because Rashi says the Canaan we're going to have Machlokis in, and they were going to think that the land was theirs, and we have to prove to them that Eretz Canaan was given to us instead of over them. So therefore we start with Bereshis Torah, Lokim, to go through the history, and then we'll go through Achodesh Azelachem, we'll go through all the mitzvahs. The Pshat is, because the first Aseret HaDibros might have started from Achodesh Azelachem. It might have started from that actual mitzvah, because that would have been the mitzvahs, that would have been the original first Aseret HaDibros. But because we couldn't handle that, we couldn't deal with that, we've changed the Torah to be a Torah where we need Bereshis Bara Elokim in order to explain the Canaan where we are, to go through why we're not stealing it from the Canaan, and we wouldn't take it away from them, that it's something totally different. That's number one. But you got to hear your question. This is the question that you have to ask without a question. The question is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu really need those second 40 days for? All right. The Zohar says after Har Sinai, they were on the level where there was no Yetzer Hara. nobody had a Yitzhar, which means there was no evil inclination. So you'll ask, yeah, what about the Egel Azov?
They were talking this
Chet of Arishim. Exactly. They were like on the level of Adam Arishim before the Chet. Adam Arishim before the Chet. That's what everybody says. That's what the Zohar tells us. But I have a stira. I have a big stira. Ready for the stira? Gemara and Shabbos, Pei Ches Amud Beis. The Malachim go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, what are you doing with the Torah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving it to the people. And he said, Ma'adosh Kisis Karenu, why are you giving it to the people? They don't deserve it. Give it to us. Us Malachim, we should get it for ourselves. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, answer them all. Give them an answer. Give them an answer. So Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto the Kisei HaKavod, Kabiyahol, grabbed onto the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said to them, do you guys have the mitzvah? Do you guys have a doubt of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? Did you guys leave Mitzrayim that it could say, Asher Tzitzicha Mitzrayim? Do you guys have any doubt about Avodah Zarah? Do you guys have parents? Do you guys have stealing? And he said one line in there. He said, do you have a Yetzer Hara? What do you mean? The Bnei Yisrael at that moment didn't have a Yetzer Hara either. What was the tithe of Moshe?
Obviously they did. It wasn't internal. That's what the
point was. Ah, very good. You know the Shem Yishmol. Shem Yishmol says the following. This is an unbelievable verse.
I know. He says.
Oh, yes.
Shem Yishmol says that.
The pshat is that at Matan Torah, the Yetzer Hara was not inside their bodies. There wasn't something that they felt. Whereas Kibu, your Yetzer Hara is pulling you, and it feels like you yourself want to do a sin. There was an outside person telling them. It was like you them getting up to me and saying, hey, do you want to go do something bad? Which I very easily could say, no. Whereas somebody outside of them, exactly. Just like by Adam Rishon, there was a nachash outside of them that was telling them what to do. And they could make a full conscious decision whether to listen or not to listen. It was outside of them. So too, when it came to Bnei Yisrael, when they were sitting there at Har Sinai, it wasn't there. It was an adversary that was apart from them, that was seducing them to do something wrong. Not they themselves that wanted to do something wrong. They themselves had no desire to do anything wrong. That's what it was by Matan Torah. And that's why, if you look at the Gemara does not say you have a Yetzer Hara inside you. He said, do you, Malachim, have a Yetzer Hara among you? Bekir, not Bekir Bechem. In Shemayim, is there a Yetzer Hara in Shemayim? Because there isn't a Yetzer Hara inside Bnei Yisrael either. There's a Yetzer Hara around the earth that's seducing them. You guys don't have that. Therefore, Bnei Yisrael, after Har Sinai, they needed a different type of Torah to apply to their circumstances at the time where they had no Yetzer Hara. The Torah is beyond our physical world. The Torah can manifest itself in any way, shape, or form for anyone, depending on their situation. There's a Torah for people with the Yetzer Hara. There's a Torah for people without the Yetzer Hara. And it's not the same manifestation. There's a Torah for the Malachim. There's a Torah for the Malachim. Or even the Malachim have a certain Torah that applies to them.
Same letters, though.
That's another thing I'll do. That's the Gra. But that's why.
Same share 2 years in a row.
Yeah, what? No, this was not from last year. Shemi Shmuel is not from last year. It's not the same thing. That's why the Malachim wanted the Torah. They wanted the Torah because they said, we have a Torah ourselves. So what's Pshat? So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's Taina back? They had a Torah on their own. So what was their Taina back? We have a Yetzer Hara. So what? They don't have a Yetzer Hara. They have their own Torah. So what should it be? Pshat is, they too wanted a brand of Torah that would fit into their world. But which Torah is greater? The Torah is greater when it raises you to a level higher than you could ever have imagined. The Malachim would be over here. And the Torah would give them to this level, so to speak. People without a Yetzer Hara would be here. They're not on the level of Malachim. They still have a Yetzer Hara around them. Right. Give them the Torah and they're here. Maybe that's what it would be. It's bigger than what the Malachim has. And so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're going to do a better thing than you guys are ever going to do. But the best thing is to be down here. To have a Yetzer Hara within you and to raise yourself even higher with the Torah. The pshat is the Malachim said, we should have the Torah because we're never going to sin. And we're not going to grow so much. We're only going to grow that much. But we're still going to be at a higher level than anybody else. Even with you and your Torah, you're still never going to come to our level. And Bnei Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we're going to gain more. We're going to gain more than you'll ever gain. And then when they sinned, they would be on a level down here where they needed a different type of a Torah. But that Torah is so great, it can raise you up to a huge level. Now, that level may not even get to the feet of a person who doesn't have a Yetzer Hara within him. May not even come to that level. May not even come anywhere near there. But there is a greater feat in getting the Torah. There's a greater type of a thing. In a way, that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik. In a way.
Not really, though, because a Tzaddik never sins.
So he's on a higher level. But the amount that the Tzaddik has gained in this world versus the amount that the Baal Tshuva has gained in this world, in a way, that depends on how you look at it.
Yes, it's less spiritual.
Yes, it's less spiritual. It's not the greatest version of the Torah that there could be. It's not like the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah for it to be in our world. And there's the Torah of Malachim. There's the Torah for Bnei Yisrael without a chait, and that's our Torah lasid level. When Mashiach comes, we'll be without chait. And there's the other Torah of our Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, in which he needed another 40 days to make that manifestation, for the Torah to be a completely different Torah. And that was the Milah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was able to go for 40 days, learn all the Torah and all the Dikdukim and all the Pratim for people that don't have the Yetzer Hara, and then go back and learn another Torah that had nothing to do with that original Torah for another brand of people that are not, even though he himself never lost, he never lost that ability. He didn't have the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara went back inside Klal Yisrael, but he himself never had the Yetzer Hara go back inside him. He was able to learn Torah and be able to teach Torah to a bunch of people that were not like him. He was able to be at a higher level than they ever were and still able to teach it to them. Yeah.
What about the people who didn't sin?
Those who were like Shevet Levi. Everybody had a bit of a chait in the fact that they weren't mocha. Even Yoshua and even the Levim, they still had a bit of a chait, a tiny little bit of a chait because it was no macha. All those people had a little tiny bit of it. Well, we spoke that out at the beginning. We're going to have to talk about Aaron directly.
Didn't Moshe ask God the same thing already?
Originally.
He stopped him down.
This Gwen was mentioned three times in
the Midrash. No, he told me the story, like, and they came down and they messed up.
Chazan is all. That's another story. That's another Midrash, another story for another time. But this is a different one. We can go into story time, but not right now. That's the first one. Now, I want you to think for a second. And by the way, Rishwad, this is an unbelievable example of how the Torah changes based on different times. The Pasuk says, Lo Sirtach. You can't murder, right? What does that mean? Can't murder a person. But Chazal tell you unbelievable other things. They tell you, you can't embarrass a person publicly, or you're over on Lo Sirtach. Where's that Lo Sirtach? You see that Lo Sirtach manifests itself differently by different situations. Chazal say other things. If you're ready to paskin, and you don't paskin, or if you're not ready to paskin and you paskin, you kilo over in Lo Sirtach. What does that mean? It's not murder. What does it have to do with murder? That Lo Sirtach manifests itself in different ways based on the people that are there and based on the times and based on the situation. It can change itself based on the situation. That's the idea behind it. There's so many other things that have to do with that. But now you can understand something. If Bnei Yisrael were on the same level of other issues before the Chayt, now you can somewhat understand what the concept of the Egel Azov was. Famous Rav Gessler, and a famous thing, that you can say it over from everybody. What was the pshat on the chait of the Egel Azov? How could they have possibly sinned if they didn't have a Yetzer Hara inside them? Mm-hmm. Yetzer Hara was outside of them, was the Erev Rav. And the Nachash, HaKadmoni, was now the Erev Rav. So what was the pshat in Bnei Yisrael wanting to sin? What was the pshat in them getting involved in the Egel Azov? Even though the Bnei Levi didn't sin, and there were thousands upon thousands of Jews that did not sin, Chazal tells us 3,000 Bnei Yisrael sinned. Still, what caused them to be on that level, then all these bad things happen. How could they have possibly done this? So for this, the pshat is, and it's brought from the Rabbeinu Bechaya. He's the originator of this thought. The idea is that Adam HaRishon sinned because he knew that the best thing for this world is not to be a Nebuch who gets everything for free, who gets it as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when you just get it as a gift, even though that sounds great for a little kid, a little kid just getting everything for free. And I know there are certain people that even when they're older, they just want to get everything for free. Just give me this. I don't want to have to do anything for it. I just want to get everything for free. I want to get everything for free. I don't want to have to work for it. I don't want to have to do anything for it. I just want to get everything. Just give me everything. And even though that's something that everybody wants to do, when I say there's a kid and you're a Nebuch, you're a guy that's just being paid, but the guy
to get
knows.
They got. Adam was like that. Fine, I understand Adam made that decision. But for Bnei Yisrael to make that decision?
Rega. So Adam Rishon decided, and he made this decision for the rest of any person out there. You got to work for your money. You got to be able to work. He knew the ramifications of the chait. He consciously went into it knowing that something bad was going to happen when he did this chait, when he did the chait egel. But he went into it saying to himself, this is what I know is going to happen and I'm ready to deal with it. I'm ready to deal with it. Bnei Yisrael did not deserve to be on the 50th level of Kedusha when they got to Har Sinai. They were given a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and somehow they jumped levels. From the 49th level of Tuma, they jumped not only one level a day, two levels a day. Two levels a day. So they got to the 50th level, well, they never got to the 50th, the 49th level of Kedusha by the time they got to Har Sinai. They went from negative 49 to negative 47, to negative 45, to negative 43. Or, according to Rav Stolper, when I asked him, Rav Pinchas Stolper, the father-in-law of Rabbi Cohn, Rabbi Stolper, when he said, he told me once, that the pshat is that negative 49 is really level 1, and negative 48 is really level 2, and negative 47 is really level 3. Uh-huh. Regardless, they were given a gift to jump levels. You think it's easy to just jump levels to get to the level, the 49th level of Kedusha, from being in the 49th level of Tuma? That's ridiculous. You can't just jump those levels. You can't just get there all of a sudden. There's no way to be able to get there. Right. It was given as a gift to them. They didn't work hard for it. They just got to that point. And the Kedusha will give them. It was like Adam Rishon before the Chait, and the fact that they didn't try at all. So for that, Bnei Yisrael said, we want to work our way up there. We don't just want to get it for free. We want to work our way up there. And they consciously made the decision when the Erev Rav went and messed up, and the Erev Rav did the Egel Azov. They were willing to say, yes, there's an Egel Azov. We're willing to be able to accept it in order to be able to be there. And that explains the Chazal, that the Egel Azov was only made for them to be able to do tshuva. Such a hard concept. What does that mean, that the Egel Azov was only there for tshuva? Because Bnei Yisrael was on a level that they didn't need to do this chait. They should have been on the level where they understood the ramifications of what the chait was. They didn't have a Yitzhar Hara inside them. They didn't have a Yitzhar anywhere near them. So what were they thinking? They thought to themselves, they have to go around, and nobody else can use this excuse. Nobody else can ever use this excuse to be able to go out there and do something.
We do. We use that excuse all the time.
The Egel is a pretty big deal.
You're right. And the Egel Azov, that chait, has never lost itself throughout all the Chayis. Why? We always have to work for our money. That always has to be. We are no longer given it as a gift. There's no way that you can ever go up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and ask for anything. After Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, we now have to work for it. And there's nothing else that Moshe Rabbeinu can do. If something's lost, that the idea is that when Yeshua lost, after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, he lost however many halachos, 3,000 halachos, right. 7,000 halachos, 300 seikos. He can no longer say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, give it to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to work it out through pilpul. And a Sneel Ben Kenaz has to do pilpul in order to bring back that Torah that was lost completely. You can no longer get it as a gift. It's out of this world. There's nothing you can do. So what did they do? What did they do? Okay, so I'm going to tell you over some crazy midrashim over here. What happened? Here's what the Yalkut Reuveni says. The Erev Rav were not allowed to be in the Anan. They weren't allowed to be in that Ananiah Kavod. They weren't allowed to be in the Ananiah Kavod. The animals were out there. They had to deal with the weather. Obviously, the sun was not exactly the funnest thing in the world in the middle of the desert. Amalek started fighting them. They only got the leftover mud, and the only water they got was from water carriers inside Klal Yisrael who were willing to give them water when they were feeding the sheep outside of the camp. Because the water of Be'er Miriam only lasted within the Anan Yaakov, it didn't go outside. They heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Beini U Bein Bnei Yisrael O Si Le'olam. That was the pasuk right before this whole thing. Beini U Bein Bnei Yisrael O Si Le'olam. He said, Beini U Bein Bnei Yisrael, what about us? What about the Erev Rav? There were, according to Mechilta, 1.4, 2.8. There could have been millions and millions of Erev Rav. 1.4, 2.8 million Erev Rav. They were Jewish in the fact that they were Gerim, but they were not considered Bnei Yisrael. They were definitely not considered Bnei Yisrael. So they elected leaders. Their names were Yonus and Yambrus. Some say it's Yochanai and Mamre. It depends on the Midrashim. Yochanai and Mamre, Yonus and Yambrus, who were the sons of Bilam. Sons of Bilam. And they were head Mechashvin of Paro. All over. They were head Mechashvin of Paro. Bnei Yisrael were untouchable. Untouchable. They had no Yitzhahara. They were in the Anariah Kavod. They had a constant Neshama Yisera on them. And they were beyond anything within this world. They never went to the bathroom. They didn't have to go to the bathroom ever. That was not only because of the mud. Even if they would eat bread, they wouldn't have to go to the bathroom. They wouldn't have to go to the bathroom at all. They didn't have anything. They had crowns on top of their heads, two crowns that had the shame of Ayin Beis on top of them, that if anybody tried doing anything to them that wasn't right, would immediately die, because the crowns would show, would light up that shame Ayin Beis, and the person across them would die. Bnei Yisrael or Yonus and Yambrus? That was Yonus and Yambrus.
Yeah, that was Yonus and Yambrus you were talking about.
No, we're talking about Bnei Yisrael. They needed a suffix. Boshesh Moshe was that suffix. When Moshe Rabbeinu delayed, and they weren't sure, where's Moshe Rabbeinu? was Moshe Rabbeinu. And obviously they saw the bed of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu looked like he was dead, sitting on top of there. Erev Rav came up to Bnei Yisrael with an idea to bring themselves up in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make sure they were on a certain type of a level that they'd never been on before. They wanted to be the new people. They wanted to be the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to, and they wanted to get rid of Bnei Yisrael. So they decided, they approached them and they said, Kum Aseh Lanu Elohim. Elohim are what? And also what?
Judges.
Because who do they want to take over for? Moshe Rabbeinu. The original Ger came by to Klal Yisrael. What did he suggest? Yisrael came along and he said, let's make judges. So too, they said the exact same thing. Let's make our own judges. In our own different way. And they heard what Yisrael said and they knew that it was a good idea. And they said to themselves, you know what, that's not a bad idea. What's wrong with that? That's a great idea to make judges, to have everybody there. They reminded Bnei Yisrael slowly but surely about the king Apish. Apish was a king in Mitzrayim who, when he died, said, I will never leave my people. And he put himself inside the river, and he formed every year on his yahrzeit, would climb up out of the river in the form of an eagle with a half moon for one of its eyes, and he would fly up into the sky from the Nile River, fly up all around, that's probably where the whole idea of the cow jumped over the moon came from, and would fly up in the sky for the whole day, and the people would have a chag, and they would throw things at it, and whatever it was, and then at the end of the day, it would fall inside the river. Some Midrashim say that was the chag that Potiphar and everybody was going to when Ishus Potiphar seduced Yosef for the last time. That was the actual chag. It was Chag Shel Apish. It happened once a year. And to remind them of that eagle that was there. There was another story about the eagle where there was a person who went to battle in Mitzrayim who was wearing an eagle on his chest. He was wearing a picture of a cow on his chest. And they reminded them of that and they said, oh, the eagle is something that's powerful for battle. And they reminded them also that in Mitzrayim, everybody had their own pocket idol. That they all believed in God. But they believed that this pocket idol was the manifestation of God, that whenever they needed something, you never seen a...
They never rode cows in the battle.
Not riding a cow. He wore a cow on his chest as one of his, one of those pictures. You know, people have like cows, people have this.
Strong, but what does it have to do with war?
Different people have different suros and different kokos. There is a cow in Shemayim. There is a cow in Shemayim within the Merkavas, within the stars. And that cow is what they were trying to represent. Certain people wear a Gidi, certain people wear a Dui, all the different constellations. And one person had that cow to be up there, that eagle that was supposed to represent them. They went ahead and they got up there. Oy, and aside from that, when they were at Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw footprints of an eagle in the sand outside of Kriyas Yamsuf. Why did you see footprints of an eagle? Because malachim that are high up are supposed to be, they're supposed to have footprints of Agol Yazov. I don't know if that's 100%. I don't know what the behind that, that's what the Zohar says. You can't say any more than that. Oh, this is the personal idols. They had these personal idols that they used to kiss and they used to think of whenever they would be around. You know, we have like our own little pocket siddurim. So they had their own little, tiny little idols that they would keep on them at all times, hang around their neck, keep them in their pockets, whatever they needed, pull them out,
kiss them and everything. Little stars and stuff.
The little star. That would be the definition of an idol. And then everybody would be out there and they wouldn't be able to have those, and it would represent all the idol worship that they had there. And they said, wouldn't that be a great idea? And slowly but surely, Bnei Yisrael had that suffix from the outside start to hit them. At first, they said, what are you talking about? But then, slowly but surely, they started saying to themselves, wait a second, we're not saying that there's no God. We're saying that there could be a manifestation of God within the little thing that I'm carrying with me, so I don't have to worry about other things. That's what we could have. They said to themselves, you know what, that's not a bad idea. Why shouldn't we have such a thing? They started thinking. 600 people from Klal Yisrael, 600 out of 600,000 were convinced. And they sat there and they said, you know what, that's not a bad idea. Hur got so angry. He got up and he started screaming at them, what's wrong with you? How could you do this? But he did the Musar in the wrong way. And because he did Musar in the wrong way, for the level of Hur, he deserved to be killed for doing Musar in the wrong way. And the Erev Rav killed him. And that even strengthened their claim. You see a Kadosh Baruch Hu is on our side because we were able to kill Hur. We're able to kill Moshe Rabbeinu's brother-in-law. You see how powerful we are, and you see that we're right. And that caused other people to come, up to 3,000 people that were there. So Aaron now tries to delay. He said, everybody grab the gold. Everybody grab the gold. Start taking. There's nothing that Aaron could do when it came to killing Hur. Somebody threw a spear, and it hit Hur, and Hur died. There's nothing that Aaron could have done to possibly do that. Maybe there was a tefillah, but Hur was Chai Misa. The Hur was Chai Misa. So what did he do? Got everybody together, and he said, let's get the gold.
People are dying.
Let's get the gold. So he grabbed all the gold, and he put it all together in one pile. He looked in the gold, and among the gold, he saw one little thing. A little taf shows off a plate of gold that sit on it, Ali Shur. Ali Shur, where did they get this Ali Shur from? The Ali Shur was the same plate that was used by Moshe Rabbeinu to bring up the bones of Yosef in the middle of the Nile River. Yosef HaTzadik was buried in the midst of the Nile River, and in order to bring his body up from the coffin that he was in, that he had to use a certain type of Kedusha, he took this plate that said Ali Shur and he threw it inside the river, and up came the coffin of Yosef, Ali Shur, rise up, O Shur, and Moshe Rabbeinu went and took the coffin and left the plate of gold in the river. Micha, who is an evil person, brought that Ali Shur with him, grabbed that golden piece of gold, that golden plate, took that golden plate and brought it with him, and was waiting for an opportunity to use it. He was one of the 600 people. When he saw that everybody was grabbing gold, he took out this golden plate, threw it into the pile, and he said, he threw it in there and said, I'm ready to give it up in order to make this a bo dizar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What ended up happening? Fire started burning. Both Aaron started sitting there and said, you know what, I'm going to burn down the gold into a molten type of gold, and we'll see what ends up happening with it. Then Ali Shur that was inside there, Aaron saw it, grabbed a pair of pinchers, picked it up, looked at it, realized what it was, and said, Oy vey, we have to make this burn down as well. And threw it right back inside. But as soon as you pick up something that's full of kishuf, that Micha was able to throw in with kishuf, it caused kishuf to have power on the rest of the fire. And up came a shor. Why a shor? Because I'll say that there was good intention behind this. They didn't want a leader, a god, to be out there. They wanted somebody to lead Bnei Yisrael through the desert. It would be impossible to die like Moshe Rabbeinu, they thought, had already died. So they brought up. They remembered. When they were at the Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of God. Now, what did they see on that Kisei HaKavod? There are four pictures up there. There's an Adam, that stands for Rachamim. There's Kruven, that stands for Tiferes. There's a lion. The lion stands for Gevura. But there's also something called a Shor. The Shor stands for pure Midas Adin. If you want to say that's Gevura, there's a bit of an issue with it. I don't know exactly how to answer it. I can't tell you. Elisa. But the Shor is on the left side of the Kisei HaKavod. And when they looked up in Shemayim and they saw the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aside from seeing those little footprints on the ground of the Egel, from the Malachim, they saw a picture of a Shor. They saw that Shor. And what they had intention for, when they saw inside and they said they wanted a leader, they came out with this idea of, we picture a Shor. And this Shor came up out of the fire and rose out of the fire and came out, started walking, and yelled out loud, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Lo yelecha Elohim Acherem Aponai. Not a cow. Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they saw in the Kisei HaKavod. The pure Mida of Din. Because why? They're in the desert. The desert is a place of Midas Adin. Says the Ramban, they knew that they needed a leader. So who would be the leader in the desert? Somebody would be in Midas Adin. And when they went to Eretz Yisrael, which would be a place of Rachamim, they'll switch it to a different surah. But it would represent God and lead them throughout wherever they would go.
Why would they want to eat at all?
Midas Adin, not for themselves, but to be able to fight and to be able to use the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against all the enemies that are out there in the desert.
Not for them themselves.
And that was the idea of what they wanted to do. That was the idea of how they wanted to go about it. They messed up royally. But the ego itself was very convincing, to the point where Aaron Cohen had no choice but to say, let's make a chag for HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomorrow. We don't have a choice. We have to make a chag for tomorrow. Why? Because he knew something is going on. He didn't know what it was. He assumed that he'd be able to delay. He never thought anything was going to come out of this fire. He mamish thought that he was going to be able to delay until Moshe Rabbeinu came back the next day. Now he's messed over because of the kishuf. And he figured, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down early in the morning. He's probably coming down at sunrise. Which he was coming down at sunrise. Because he's only supposed to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and the end of the night would be when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come down. So he's supposed to come down early in the morning. The problem is that they woke up earlier than sunrise to be able to go bow down and to do everything. Had they stayed later, everything would have been okay. But for Matan Torah, what happened? They slept in. for the Ego Azov, they got up earlier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is unbelievable what they're doing. That they got up earlier to be able to worship it. There's something crazy going on here. Now, regardless of who it was, it may have been only the Arab Rav that went ahead and danced. The fact that Klal Yisrael didn't make a massive machal was mechayev them. To the point of the Kliyakar says, you know what the sin was? You know what the sin of the Ego Azov was? Not Avod Azara. It was Gil Yarayis, Shichus Damim, Avod Azara. How? Where was the Gil Yarayis? Where was the Shichus Damim? Now, Shichus Damim, maybe you'll say Chur. Where was the Gil Yarayis? Here's the Chazal. If you have a balloon, and you make one hole in that balloon, what's going to happen? All the air is going to leak out, and it's all gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to kill all of Bnei Yisrael, and you're going to make a brand new nation. What's the chat behind that? It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this nation is already messed over. You still are without the Yetzer Hara. You don't have a Yetzer Hara. I'll make a whole nation out of your kids that don't have a Yetzer Hara. But Bnei Yisrael, it's too late. Now they have a Yetzer Hara. They chose for themselves to bring a Yetzer Hara upon themselves. They chose from outside, just like other Marishon chose to eat from the fruits. They all chose a Yetzer Hara for themselves, and it's too late for them. They're done for. They're all gone. There's nothing I can do to be able to help them. Nothing I can do. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, that Torah is the Torah that you want. You don't want a Torah for Malachim. You don't want a Torah for people without a Yetzer Hara. You don't want a Torah for me. You want a Torah for them. It was a good decision that they made. It was a decision in which people have to work hard for their money. That they have to fight a Yetzer Hara in order to be able to do mitzvos. Not they just automatically do mitzvos, and if they really try hard, they sin. That they some sin, and they really got to try hard to do mitzvos. That's the Torah that you want to give them. That's the pshat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu in the end, gave them Yud Gimel Midos Arachamim for when a person sins to be able to bring himself up to a higher level. And that was the idea of what they were trying to do. That was the idea of the Ego Azov. Oy. You know what? I want to stop with that for now. How much time do I have? Do I have? Oh, it's already 9:10. 8:50. Let me say over one board before you finish. There's a famous Rav Schwab, but this is you're gonna love this Gemara. The Gemara is in Sota. The Gemara is brought down in different places. The Gemara says the following: a woman came up to Rabbi Eliezer, said to Rabbi Eliezer, "Why, if everybody did the same sin, the sin was the same. They all bowed down to Ego or whatever it was. Why did they have three different deaths? Some people immediately were killed by the Levium. Some people were plagued. There was a plague that went out that killed people. And some people, they instead died by drinking the water, and they ended up dying like Mesota. They blew up. So why were there three different deaths? So what did Rabbi Eliezer answer him? Anybody know? Ein chachma b'isha ela b'plach. A woman, her only wisdom is in the spindle. And didn't answer. It's an unbelievable Gemara. What kind of an answer is that? She asked a good question. Is that a dumb question? Well, what in the world? A woman. Stop a woman. That's what it sounds like, right? So that's the famous Gemara that if you go up to a Brahmin's girl, that's what you can go ahead and say, and you'll be okay. You have to understand. Come on. What's the shot? What's that? We know this not him. We know this not him. Yeah, this is not Ein Chochma B'Yishah L'Beplach. Speak for myself. Speak for myself. So what's Ein Chochma B'Yishah L'Beplach? It's a posh answer, and it's an unbelievable answer. Says Rav Schwab, the shot is that women think differently from men. Now, generally speaking, this is true, that there are women who can probably think like men, and there are men that think like women. They're called manly women, they're called womanly men. You know, the girly men. I call it all the time. Fact is there a certain, the way a woman thinks is you try to put things together. They put things together. They combine things and try to come out with one shot that goes up together. Walls over the Kanei Achad is what they call
the same thing.
Like a spindle. A spindle is twisting things and make it all go into one little thing. But the chokhmah of a man is to be mechalik. To be mafrid. To be mechalik. And as we know, the famous brisker dinim, tzvei dinim. There's two different dinim going on over here. There's a chiluk. Avadid are all of the Kanei Achad in which it's all emes diketorah. But it's okay to have machlokes. Women don't want machlokes. They want everything to work out together so that everybody's right and everybody's correct and that everybody's perfectly fine. So what was her question? What was her question?
Very good.
What was her question? Her question was, why did they have separate deaths? They all should have died the same death. She said, it's only a question for you. that you want everything to work out together. Because that you want to spindle everything together and twist everything together. L'maisa, there are times where things are different, where there's chilukim, and there are different people who deserve different deaths. This person deserves this death because of this, and this person deserves that death because of this. And even though three people do the exact same sin, this guy deserves this, and this guy deserves this, and this guy deserves that. Three people do the exact same sin. There are times where that happens. That's what the man will say, while a woman will say, no, there has to be a pshat in which you can connect them all together. And that's what he's telling her, that the chokmah of a woman is different from the chokmah of a man. Neither one is wrong. Just the reality of the situation is that I can't answer your question. You're going to have to come up with a pshat that goes together. But for me, this Bardach Habiyah, I don't mind saying that there are different things that we switch out together, and one person says this way, one person says that way, and one person says that way. And that's the idea of lumdus. If you really want to learn lumdus, emes diketorah is putting everything together in one. That's emes diketorah. That's the emes to put everything all together in one and to combine them all together. And that's a woman's Torah. And that's why Noshim, Chokmas Noshim Bonsa Besa is a pasuk in Mishlei. The wisdom of women builds the house. Loss of love, who leads? The Noshim are going to go after the men. Because they're going to chase after the men. They're going to grab the men instead. Because the Noshim is the Iker way of learning Torah. But our way in our world is a time of Chiluk. It's a time of Pirut. It's a time where things are different, and we have to accept them as they are. And when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to understand how it all is Ola B'Kanei Echad. How all machlokism all come out together to be one. That's the idea behind it, and that's what we're going with over here. All right, guys. Have a good shout.
Chokmah is a male characteristic.
Very good. And the Bina is the issue. Yeah, what's up?
Have you seen it in China?